sing in the night.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for those songs. And that song, if I had to guess, probably came from someone who had been through some stuff. But even through it all, for a child of God, it makes us love Him more. It makes us realize how much we need Him more. And I praise the Lord for that. But if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we will be in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. And we're going to be reading, and so you can remain seated for the lengthy passage of Scripture. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 34. And this thought really, accidentally by me, providentially by God, kind of goes right along with last Sunday night. That was not the plan. I hadn't planned on that. Sunday night, I tried to just, through my Bible study, let the Lord lead what direction He would have us go. But He led us right in line with last week. So you pray for us tonight as we preach God's Word. Acts chapter number 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as they went to pray at a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So tonight I want to preach on the thought, the power of praising through persecution. The power of praising through persecution. Pastor Daniel, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. So as we look at this passage before us tonight, it's going to, like I said, piggyback kind of what we dealt with last time. As we go ahead and dive right into this passage of Scripture, the first thing we look at, we see the righteousness here of Paul and Silas. Now remember, I said this piggyback last week. Remember last week we talked about if we are going to be persecuted for the right reason, we have got to be persecuted, the Bible says, for righteousness' sake. Remember, if we're going to be persecuted, we need to make sure it's for the right reason. We need to make sure we're persecuted for doing things God's way, that we're not being persecuted for standing on soapboxes and trying to make people mad. I've heard it today. I've heard it many times throughout my life where men, preachers or not, will get behind pulpits and stand on their soapboxes and love the fact that they're making people mad because they think that means they're preaching the truth. If people are getting mad at me, I'm doing something right, which is not true. And then when they get backlash, that is not persecution for righteousness' sake. I said last week that's persecution for ignorance' sake. That's persecution for the wrong reasons. That's persecution that just swells their pride. That does not honor the Lord. But we see here in this passage of Scripture, first, the righteousness of Paul and Timothy and Silas. We see here Paul and Silas, and this is a great example to us. We see here as we look at this in verses 1 through 18, I want to point out first, as we look at their righteousness, I want to point out that they preached the word. Look at verses 1 through 5. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." And we'll look at another part of Scripture in just a minute. But I want to point out there, it says in verse number 4, this isn't part of the message, but as I was in my Bible reading, I just thought this was such an encouragement. It says, "And they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were of Jerusalem." See, before that, there were some Pharisees who had been saved. And they were trying to say that you needed to be circumcised with your salvation in order to honor the Lord and be doing it the right way. And so they took it to the Jerusalem council, Paul did. They decided we don't need to lay on them that burden. And I praise God for that. They didn't want to place on them things they didn't have to do, and I praise the Lord for that. What they delivered them is what all of us need to do, and that's the decrees that they gave there. There was no legalism there. We just need to do what the Bible says. We don't need to do what man says, and that's what they were pointing out there. So they delivered the decree there, and we see also in verses 11 through 15, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. and were in that city abiding certain days. And on the seventh day we went out of the city, but by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. So we see here that they are preaching the word of God. Remember, persecution for righteousness' sake. The apostle Paul, Silas, is preaching the word to these people. And that is one thing we need to be doing, church, proclaiming. All of you may not be able to stand behind this pulpit and preach like this, but that word preach just means proclaim. We need to be going out into this world proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That's why we're going out on the 31st. But you don't have to wait until a special church outing to go out and share the gospel. We should be doing it every day, everywhere we go. And I believe, honestly, I'm preaching to the choir here. We're on a Sunday night at Mountain City Baptist, and this church is full of soul winners. And that's actually, when I describe our church, I always say, and people, I guess I want them to know, I'm not just saying it because I go here and I pastor here, but this is a special place. And we've got a place full of soul winners. And I just praise the Lord for that. And I want to encourage you for that. And I want to encourage you to keep it up. But we need to know that if we do that, there will come a time where we will be persecuted for that. And as Paul will be here shortly. So we see that Paul preached the word, but also they pursued the will of God. Look at verses 6 through 10. Now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So we see here, not only are they preaching the word and being obedient to the Lord in that aspect, but when the Lord kind of shifts their focus, shifts his will for their life, they immediately, the Bible says, essayed to go that way. So they're preaching the word. They're pursuing the will of God. But not only are they pursuing the will of God, but they're performing wondrous miracles. God's power is upon them. Look at verses 16 through 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. So we see here, these men are preaching the word. They're pursuing the will of God. They're performing wonders. And a lot of people in the world, a lot of belief systems in the world today would say, since they're doing that, everything's going to be a bed of roses. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be healthy. Your life's going to be great. I had somebody tell me that, and I won't rehash what I said when I talked about it. But we need to take those people to scriptures like this. None of us will ever be as close to God and as much in the will of God as Paul was right here. But we see their righteousness. But we see, secondly, the repercussions. Church, if we live for God, that means persecution's coming. Remember, I read it last week. Yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, shall suffer persecution. It's coming. We see this in the life of Paul here. We see their righteousness. We see the repercussions, verses 19 through 24. We see first, as we look at this, we see that they were berated. They were spoken evil about. Look what the Bible says in verses 19 through 21. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." So we see here they are berated. And notice, they are spreading lies. Remember we talked about last week, if you live for God, you do it the right way, you do it with the right spirit, you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, yes, they will speak evil of you, but they will be speaking lies. And remember, in the end, they will be brought into embarrassment. Remember that. So we see here, they were being berated. They were being spoken evil of. And to be honest, that's right now, really, that's about as far as our persecution goes. And we think that, man, we're just, oh, it's the worst thing in the world when somebody speaks bad about us. But there are people in the world today, as you know, in Afghanistan, that very well might lose their life for their faith. And we see here that the same was the case for Paul and Silas. They were berated, but also they were beaten in verses 22 and 23. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So we see there, they've been berated. They've been beaten. Now, this wasn't a beating like my dad took his belt off and hit me in the hind end and said, well, you better be better now, sonny boy. No, their clothes were ripped off, and they were beaten probably half to death. They were probably bloody. They were probably bruised. They were probably tore all to pieces, and they were probably in a whole lot of pain. So they've been berated, they've been beaten, and we see now they were placed in a, and this is a French word I use, it is the same word for prison, but it fits the alliteration. They were placed in a Bastille, a prison, a place, so you're welcome on that one. That is a French word for prison, so they were placed in a Bastille, a prison. They were imprisoned for their faith. Now remember, they have preached the word. They have pursued God's will. They have performed wonders. God's hand is on them. They've been spoken evil of. Now they've been beaten, and now they've been thrown into prison. Look at verses 23 and 24. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. This flies in the face of the prosperity gospel. These men have done it right, with the right spirit, with the right motive. They are suffering for righteousness' sake, and they are suffering major. But we see here, because they did it the right way, they did it God's way, and God's hand upon them, we see their response to this persecution. Look what it says at the beginning of verse number 25. First, they relied upon the Lord. Look what it says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I can't imagine being in the position they were in, beaten half to death, in pain unimaginable. And I don't know. Indulge me for a second. I don't know, as they're sitting there on that floor in that prison, maybe Paul, in his heart, let out a little prayer and said, Lord, you said your grace is sufficient, and I'm going to believe it to be so. And I don't know what he said, but the Bible says that he prayed. He relied upon God. Him and Silas did. They gave it to God. And you know how I know they gave it to God? Because we see that they relied upon the Lord. But we see next that they rejoice with their lips. See, when you're in trouble and you reach out to God, you give it to Him and say, God, I can't do anything about it, but you can. I'm going to give it to you. He'll take it and He'll give you peace when you shouldn't have it. Look what the Bible says. The second part of verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they relied upon the Lord in prayer. And I can imagine Paul there on that nasty, rocky, cold floor, having reached out to God, and God placed peace in his heart and joy in his and Silas's heart. And sometimes when we're in physical pain or emotional pain and we give it to God, if we get close to God, it's like it goes away. And I know these songs didn't exist then, but if they were in jail now, I can see Paul maybe saying, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. minute, they forgot everything that's going on. And they're just focused on him. Remember, we talked about it earlier. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And even in the worst of situations, I'm sure they had peace and joy in their heart. And in the pain and the anguish that they were in, they were having church. We have no excuse to come into this place and sit on these padded pews with air conditioning, with our nice clothes on. We have no excuse not to worship here. If they can worship in a prison cell, having been beaten half to death, then we should be able to worship in this house. All we've got to do is what they did, is turn our eyes upon him. And we see here, as they turn their eyes upon Jesus, and as we do it, especially in persecution, we see the result, finally. They're in God's will. They're living for God. They're suffering for God. They're relying upon God. They're rejoicing with their lips. They're resting in him. They're resting in his love. I skipped that point. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, just talking about that, it says by everything, it talks about don't worry about anything, basically, but in everything. Give thanks with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Make your requests known unto God. And the Bible says, then he will give the peace that surpasseth all understanding. I believe that's what Paul and Silas had there. They had the peace that the world cannot comprehend. The peace that I have stood at a graveside. I've stood in a funeral when somebody died in an awful way, but they were a child of God. And that service was not sad, but that service was joyous. People were praising God. People were worshiping God when we shouldn't have joy, when they should not have had peace, but because they had the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. So what's the result of that? There's something special that happens when you praise God through persecution. You want to know, the world is very attentive to children of God when they are suffering, I believe. I believe they're watching how you respond. Now, I think they're watching so that they can say, see, I told you all along they were fake. I told you all along when times got hard, they would fold. They would give in. See, but when you do it right the right way and you respond the way God wants us to respond, the way that they responded, special things happen. Look what happens. We see the result. First, we see there was a shaking. We see God showed up in that prison. Look at verses 26 through 30. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. So we see first there was a shaking of a place. We see, and that's what happens when God shows up, church. That's what happens. And remember, in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah got in the presence of God, when God's presence showed up, it literally shook the building. Now, I've never been in a church service where the door frames are shaking, but I've been in one where it was pretty close. I've been in one where it was obvious God was in the house. And I'm not even talking about a church service where the hands were raised and shouts were going across the room. I've about got to where I'm cool if that happens or not. I don't really care. I just want God to show up. Because when God shows up, people, things will happen. See, when God really shows up, and I've said this all the time, people will hit their knees. We see that here. We see a shaking of a place. When God showed up, the place was shaken. When God showed up, a person was shaken. We see God worked in a heart. When God shows up, people will get right with God. Children of God and unsaved people alike. So a person was shaken. Look what it says. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. See, when God shows up, people will get under conviction. When God shows up, see, that's why we preach the word, pray God shows up and works in the heart, and we don't have to browbeat anybody. I don't have to force feed you anything. When God shows up, he will work in your heart and he will bring you to your knees. He will deal with that lost soul. He will do the work. May God help us never to think that we are the ones that need to do the work. It's our job to share the good news, to serve God the right way in the right spirit and let him work in the heart. And when he works, it's legitimate. when he works, it will last forever. So we see here, this Philippian, this jailer was, he came to them trembling. So we saw there was a shaking, but praise God, there was also a salvation. We see somebody got saved. See, when God really shows up, people will get saved. People will get right with God. Verses 31 through 34, the Bible says, verse number 30. Well, let's back up. Verse number 20. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his straightway. See, God showed up, and when God shows up, he will work. We can't do it, but he can. It's our job just to allow him to flow through us, and he will do the work. Not only did we see a shaking and a salvation, but we see in this jailer, we see a shift in him. This was a man who probably hated these men when they came into this place. Was probably glad he had put them fast in the stocks. Probably hated what they stood for in their message. And probably treated them poorly. But look what it says in verses 33 and 34. The Bible says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house." So we see first there was a shift in his affection. The men he hated, he now loved. See, when you get right with God, there will be a shift in your affection. You will have love for the people of God, and you will have love for lost souls that don't know God. May God help us to get that love. And see, when God shows up, that will happen. That's why, church, we need to pray every week that God would manifest his presence here. And sometimes that may result in shouting, praising, amening, but sometimes it won't. It's not about that. I don't want to leave here and say, "Man, we had a good service," and then nobody get right with God. I want God to show up, hearts be changed, and people will get saved, and our affections and our love will be changed into what it should be. It'll be turned from the world to the people of the world that need Jesus. So we saw their effect. We see there was a shift in his affection and a shift, finally, in his action. He had locked them in the stocks. He had treated them poorly, but now he's loving on them and he's feeding them. And see, when God shows up, this is what's going to happen. There will be a change in those that get right with God. We see here, it's kind of a sad story at the beginning. They're just doing what God told them to. Loving God, serving God, sharing his message, going where he says to. They're spoken bad about. They're beaten, thrown in prison. But God being who God is, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God, you know what it was? God loved that jailer so much that he had made Paul go through all of that to get him in that jail so that he could do it the right way, so God could show up and work in his heart. Sometimes that's what it's going to take. That's what's going to happen, church. If we will do it the right way and through persecution handle it the right way, God will show up and work in our midst and in our lives and in those around us. Or we can handle it the wrong way, fall flat on our face, and the world laugh at us. And we can dishonor our Lord. The choice is up to us. Now, God's got to do it through us. But we've got to make the choice to say, "Hey, God, help me to prepare myself for that. So when the time comes, I'll do it the right way." Remember, we talked about it last week. We've got to prepare for it. But if we've prepared ourselves for it, we handle it the right way. And what it does is it points people to him. People are going to say, "What is different about you? How in the world are you handling this way when I would handle it the complete opposite?" And you could say, "Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus." And they're going to want to hear what you have to say, church. People are watching. Persecution's coming. May God help us to handle it the right way. And if we will, God will work in very special ways. I can assure you of that. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, as Miss Anna comes to the piano, or Miss Laura, whoever's going to play tonight. I don't know where this message finds you tonight. This passage of Scripture spoken to my heart. I've asked myself, would I respond in this manner? And to be honest, I don't know. But my desire is to ask God to help me to prepare myself so that I will. As she begins to play tonight, the altar's open. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to come to this altar and say, God, help me to proclaim your message, to pursue your will. Please anoint my life with your power. And Lord, as persecution comes and the Bible says it will, give me the grace to handle it right. And if we handle it right, Lord, we trust that you will work and save souls and change lives. Special things happen in the church and with the church when persecution comes. At least throughout time, that's how it's been. May God help us to handle it the right way when it comes. People are praying. The altar is open. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. Don't leave here tonight without making things right. Don't leave here tonight without giving your heart to Him. You can leave here tonight, as we talked about this morning, knowing for absolute certainty that you are on your way to heaven. And I would be honored to show you so. Don't leave here tonight without making things right. People are still praying. The altar's still open. Don't leave here tonight without doing business with God. Amen. Thank you all for your kind attention. You can look up this way.